1248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. Folks across the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast are shoveling out of a major snowstorm today. In some cases, up to a foot of it. Richard Foley's in Rhode Island.
This is very wet, heavy snow. You can't use a snowblower. You have to shovel. It's not fun.
The Pentagon confirms Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's headed home after suffering a bladder infection. CBS's David Martin.
He has now resumed the responsibilities he had to delegate to his deputy.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. Millions of Americans across the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast are getting slammed by snow today.
That's the sound of shoveling in New York City, which could see the most snow it has gotten in some 2 years. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
You'll be seeing snowfall rates of 1 to 2 inches per hour.
Plus, all of this is happening the day before Valentine's Day. And Michael Devlin at the Frugal Flower in Sudbury, Massachusetts, says the snow is a problem on this busy day.
It plays a significant role as far as doing deliveries, you know.
Allison Keys, CBS News.
Schools in Boston and New York were closed today, and New York tried to go remote, but its public schools chancellor said it failed due to tech issues. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's in good condition after getting hospitalized for a bladder issue. CBS's Matt Piper has the latest.
Deputy Press Secretary Sabrina Singh says he should be back home tonight.
We anticipate Secretary Austin will be released from the hospital later today, so we will provide an update on when that occurs and when he resumes his full duties and functions.
The 70-year-old Austin was taken into critical care on Sunday and had transferred his duties to his deputy.
The Dow tanked today on Wall Street, losing more than 500 points. Here's CBS's Jason Brooks.
The stock market was slammed by the stronger-than-expected January Consumer Price Index reading, which showed inflation remaining well above the Fed's 2% target. That has now pushed the odds of the first rate cut from the central bank to June, and rate cut hopes have largely fueled the stock market's recent rally, which has lifted the Dow and S&P 500 to record highs over the past week.
Thousands of flight attendants are rallying at major airports today. Melissa Osborne represents Alaska Airlines flight attendants in San Francisco and says they want higher pay.
Some of us haven't had contracts or raises for the last 5 years, and it's really important that we show our solidarity because all airlines are in the same boat.
Pilots got a big bump with new contracts last year. Tomorrow, rideshare drivers plan to protest in time for Valentine's Day. WBBM's Carolina Garibay reports.
In Chicago, rideshare drivers are expected to rally at the O'Hare International Airport rideshare waiting lot. They say they will turn off their apps and not pick up passengers. They're demanding fair wages and better security.
That also means that if you plan to order dinner from any of these apps, you may be out of luck.
I can buy myself flowers.
As for gifts, analysts say people will spend a lot on loved ones this year. The National Retail Federation says Americans will shell out close to $26 billion on flowers, cards, and candy. That's an average of about $185 a person. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers' proposed district boundaries for the state legislature are on their way to his desk after passing both houses of the legislature this afternoon. Evers has said he'd sign the bill, and that would effectively close the maps lawsuit before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The new maps would place 6 incumbent state senators and 15 state representatives in the same district ahead of this fall's elections. Local election officials in Wisconsin are preparing for safe and secure voting this year, but some say the state should do more to meet the growing demand for absentee and early voting.
The funding that we receive from the state and from the federal government hasn't increased to accommodate any of that.
Meredith Witzel-Bale is the city clerk in Madison. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the mid-20s. A cloudy day for tomorrow, rain possible in the afternoon, high mid-40s. An inch or two of snow tomorrow night. Sunshine returns for Thursday, mixed with some clouds, cooler, high low 30s.
Current temp is 30.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
By Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. And by SeatGeek, official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Badgers, Matt LePay.
Welcome into the Greg Gard Show as the Big Ten season continues for the Wisconsin Badgers back on the home floor tomorrow night against Ohio State, 8 o'clock tip at the Kohl Center, and then on the road, bus ride this time down to Iowa City for a 1:15 matchup Saturday afternoon at Carver Hawkeye Arena against the Hawkeyes, and Iowa with a big comeback win against Minnesota yesterday. And as for the Badgers, I know it's been a rough stretch, but yet, you know, here we are nearing the middle of February, and still in third, just a half game behind Illinois. And I know as we visit now with the head coach, I know, Greg, as you try to, you know, fix what all needs fixing, I guess, you know, maybe a step back here. Still in third, still right. Right, very close to being in second place. And that probably doesn't make you feel great at the moment, but still there's a view. The work that you did previously doesn't have you guys in as bad a spot as it might feel here at the moment.
Yeah, and I think everybody goes through, you know, and everybody in our league has gone through, with the exception of probably Purdue, has gone through a rough patch where you, for whatever reason, you don't play your best basketball. And we've, you know, I thought we played a good half at Nebraska and a bad half. I thought we played relatively well against Purdue. And then we've had a bad, you know, a bad week here with Michigan and Rutgers. So, you know, we gotta learn from it. You can't ignore it. You can't pretend it didn't happen. But at the same time, you've got to take those lessons learned and make us better. And I think we've learned a lot through those four games, you know, of what really can help us get to another gear, what we need to do to get to another gear, what we need to avoid. Obviously, the turnovers, even though, you know, we had a rash at Nebraska, high amount. We had the ones in the first half against Rutgers, you know, but even over the last four games, we've averaged 9 turnovers a game. So, you know, the timing of them, you know, has been the biggest thing. You can't come out of the gate and turn the ball over 3 times in a row against a team on their home court that loves to press and get the team in the crowd behind you. You're just throwing gas on the fire. So just those things of cleaning up those moments and understanding what it takes to play winning basketball. And we've, you know, that's been a work in progress.
Well, the team you just played, and we talked about it, you mentioned it before the game, Rutgers is a much different team right now than it's been the vast majority of the season, for one main reason, really, and that's Jeremiah Williams. He just brings them a dimension that they didn't have.
Yeah, they just had a hard time scoring. You know, they've guarded exceptionally well for the most part all year. You know, and you watch how they've, you know, they've held Purdue to a season low. You know, that was a 2-point game with X number of minutes to play, and they just couldn't score down the stretch. And they've had that other issue until Williams. They've gotten Williams here eligible or reinstated, whatever, the absolutely healthy. I think all of the above.
All of the above, yes.
You know, and other guys, a couple of those guys off the bench that are backing up Omar Rue weren't available early in the year. So they've added depth, obviously, which helps. And now you add a little more scoring punch, and it doesn't take a lot. Just takes a little with how they play. And they obviously they're playing really well, specifically at home. They've been really good and really competitive at home.
There's something about shot blockers too. Now, sometimes, you know, you guys historically have done a good job of taking advantage of those guys at times, but, you know, you mentioned Amori with the 8 blocks. There's just something about that ultimate rim protector, right? Mm-hmm. There are a few of them in this league that can be a big difference, man.
Yeah, and it's not only the shots they block, the shots that you wondering where they're at. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it appears like there's 3 of them out there because you're always looking like, where's the ghost of Cliff Omarue at? But yeah, no, he does impact shots quick off the floor, you know, But the rest of their team too, the length that they have, you know, they can their closing speed, their closing length, specifically with Mag on the wing and Hyatt on the wing, long, you know, can get to alter shots quick, and obviously we saw them probably at one of their best games on Saturday.
I know Brian Butch was talking about that. As much as Amori gets, and he's on list now to be the best defense player in the country, he really talked about Mag, and you just did as well. Yeah. He's probably one of the better defenders that not a ton of people are mentioning.
Yeah, just the versatility. You know, he can guard perimeter people and really impact them with his length. He moves exceptionally well. He's switchable, so he can go cover up for things. You can switch ball screens with him. He obviously, you know, is a lot like what Tyler brings for us. You know, just the versatility and mobility and size. You know, when you have those three combinations together and you know, has athleticism to go with it, and, you know, shot the ball uncharacteristically well.
Yeah.
I think they all did. If you look at the analytics, it says, yeah, Rutgers make them have to shoot threes. And not that we were giving them threes, but that's the byproduct of other things not done well, and let them get some confidence. And now, you know, even you and me can make three if we're feeling really good about ourselves, Matt.
That's what, yeah. Well, you probably make a few. I'd still brick. But yeah, that's the thing. They were like 28% coming into the game and worse in recent games. And then right. They get a couple early, and then you just felt like they would drop kick, you know, right. Balls that would go through. I asked you before the game, and posing it as a reason, and I know you guys don't lean back on, where you don't fall back on excuses, but the reality is you haven't had Kamari McGee for a while now. John Blackwell tried against Michigan, played 10 or 11 minutes, wasn't able to go. Anything you could tell the fans right now about their status, you know, where they are, when maybe you could expect to see them back?
Yeah, Kamari got the cast off last week, so he's now in a boot / splint. And we're probably looking, he's doing rehab, you know, probably looking 10 to 14 days, I would say, somewhere in there. Maybe a little less, because that would have started last week when that cast came off. You know, and John is really day-to-day. You know, it's been on how that reacts, how he feels with it, the progress they can make. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how he, you know, what practice brings today, as we record this and see. Really, it's, you know, it's been right up until game time on Saturday, and just he felt he couldn't do the things he needed to do to be able to help us. So but it's an opportunity for other guys to step up. I think Connor has taken a step. I've liked what I've seen. He's got some aggressiveness back to him. He's got some fight back to him, some grit. You know, and that's, he's been working on, you know, just getting his, spent a lot of extra time in the weight room, just trying to get his body back where he can, you know, do some things better physically, which I think gives him that confidence to play with a little more zip to him like he has in the last couple games.
I was going back to the point with Kamari and John. I mean, that's real. That's, you guys have, one of the strengths of this team has been the depth. And then when you have less of it, that's, yeah, more minutes on guys, right?
And specifically for two games that you need to have some perimeter, you know, mobility and defensive ability. Yeah, and we've talked about that all year, that, you know, we've really, even though the numbers may don't jump out off the stat sheet, just impactful winning plays that those two guys have given us through the years, and those are through the year, and those plays, albeit, you know, the general eye doesn't pick them up or notice them, everybody looks at the box scores and the you know, cum stats, but those are game turning or tied momentum creating plays that they make, whether it's defensively with things John has done. You know, Kamari's scored in transition for us, really gets into the ball defensively, and it allows me to, you know, rest some of those other guys. So now, you know, Chucky's playing more minutes than I would like. AJ's playing more minutes than I would like. So it's, you know, it is what it is. You got to. Everybody has to go through injuries. I mean, nobody plays probably through a season injury free. Something hurts. We're in February. It's, but you know, it's a chance for other guys need to step up, and guys that are in the regular rotation need to give a little bit more.
You guys have been shooting the three well most of the season. It was a little choppy to start the year. Then a stretch was really good, and then the last four games, it's taken a dip. I know AJ attacks, and we even see Connor at times. You know, he'll put it on the deck and he'll take it to the hole. Are the shots, is it still too much settling, or is it just the fact you're getting good looks, or just not going down?
Yeah, it's really the last three games, because I think we were 10 for 21 against Nebraska, but the last three, it's some settling. I think it's some shot selection has to be better, which we've talked about even the second half of the Nebraska game, shot selection. And as I tell the team, I said, hey, it's really simple. You want to improve your shooting percentage? Take better shots. You know, it's amazing how that works when you take unguarded shots and you don't take rush shots and you take shots that are within your wheelhouse that you're capable of making at a more than 50% clip. So getting the ball inside more. You know, I think our free throw numbers have come back up, attempts at least. We didn't shoot it great from the line on Saturday. I think we were 13 of 22, but with the numbers of getting back to the line in the 20s, you know, we've been closer the last, you know, two games at least. And that number needs to continue to climb and then be more disciplined and selective on the shots you do take from the perimeter and when you take them. You know, we can get the same contested shot at 5 seconds that we're taking at 22 seconds, and we're not making the defense work, and that all has a domino effect to the 40 minutes.
Those are always those things that I'm sitting on either wherever we're calling a game from. It's really like, yeah, sure. Well, you know, you have a good shot, but you can get a great shot, but you get behind, especially on the road, right? Yeah. Crowds into it. You want to, it's almost like in baseball, you want to hit a grand slam when the bases are empty. You want to get that 4-point shot.
Right? Yeah, and right. quick shooting Saturday against a Rutgers team that wants to go in transition, needs to go in transition, has to have transition points, and then come set their press, and you're going right back to bad shots are just like turnovers. Yeah. They're the same thing. In fact, sometimes turnovers are better because the referee at least blows it dead, and you can set your defense. A bad shot at flying off that rim, and here we come. It's the first pass and a fast break.
No doubt. Badgers taking on Ohio State Buckeyes, a double overtime winner on Saturday afternoon against Maryland. 8 o'clock tip at the Kohl Center for Wisconsin and Ohio State on Tuesday night, and then on the road Saturday afternoon matchup against Iowa. A bit later, we'll talk with Mark Van de Wettering, Chief of Staff for Basketball Operations, and get his thoughts on getting that schedule together out of conference that has helped sustain a very healthy net ranking for Wisconsin. We'll also check in with Brian Butch as well, but more with Coach Gard in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
This basketball season, let LRS be your MVP in the waste diversion and recycling industry. There won't be any turnovers when it comes to the services that LRS provides its valued customers, especially with services such as waste and recycling collection for businesses, roll-off dumpster rentals, and portable restrooms that are perfect for any construction, renovation, or outdoor event. See the LRS difference by choosing the team with over 2,000 dedicated employees that puts trust and reliability first. LRS, Wisconsin's local waste and recycling leader. Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 6 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Race to savings on your next project right now at Menards. Brighten your space with Sylvania TrueWave LED bulbs. TrueWave closely mimics natural sunlight and features superior dimming control, helping you see better and feel better. Right now, receive a $10 mail-in rebate when you spend $40 on TrueWave LED light bulbs at Menards. Price is good through February 18th. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
SeatGeek's the ticketing app for fans like the sideline shot caller.
Come on, boys, pick up the pace!
SeatGeek got him a great deal on seats right near the action, so when he yells,
"What are you doing? Block him!"
he can be absolutely sure the players heard him. SeatGeek handles the tickets to sports, concerts, and more, so fans can fan.
Any team can be conquered with the right playbook. It takes human ingenuity to craft and adapt the plays that will defeat even the strongest opponents. The moves that dominate on the field, the court, the ice. And cancer treatment is no different. That's why UW Health Carbone Cancer Center uses ingenuity to combat complex cancers. As the number one cancer hospital in Wisconsin, we're proud to write the playbook on fighting cancer, so you always have the number one team in your corner. UW Health. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show. Badgers and the Buckeyes on Tuesday at the Kohl Center, on to Iowa on Saturday. We've talked probably 1,000 times about the nature of the beast in college basketball right now. Everybody goes through it. You guys are, you know, fighting through some things right now. I've noticed Kentucky has lost three straight at home. Not sure that's happened That's probably happened, you know, maybe never until now. They always, you guys have talked about it forever, too. The goal is to try to be at your best
about a month from
in
now.
Right? And that's the, always the easy thing to say, and it's brutally difficult. But maybe we can get a couple guys healthy and, you know, knock on wood in the coming days. But that's the goal of all of this, right?
It is. I mean, you're still it's one day at a time, and you're still chasing a championship. As we talked about earlier, you're 2.5 games out and half game out of second, so you're still chasing, you know. And it's about, you know, playing your next 40 minutes as well as possible, practice today as well as possible. I think our response, I always judge by how we bounce back, and I know that's cliche a little bit, and how you react when things don't go well, specifically consistently. You know, do you take 2 or 3 whatever on the chin, and then how do you respond? And I've always been I've admired how our guys through the years, forever looking back, I mean, I look back at 13-14, we lost 5 of 6, including 3 at home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just and lost to teams that we had demolished on the road. And so how do you respond? Because it's really hard to stay, you know. You look at last night's Super Bowl. You know, Kansas City, everybody was counting them out probably in November.
Yeah, they were October. 11-6 regular season.
So, you know, you just got to, you know, just stay the course. It's, you know, nobody's gone undefeated in the NFL since the Dolphins. So you can just tell you Green Bay lost 5 in a row or whatever this year and found it, turned it around, made the playoffs. So there's examples everywhere. I don't like to get into comparison because that takes you out of what's the most important thing, and that's right now. But you just let's fight our way through it and get better today, and then we'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow gets here.
Yeah, we've talked, you know, Butch and I, we talked about a UConn team last year that went through a stretch where it was just like this, like 4 out of 5 and, you know, whatever it was, 5 out of 6, and, you know, just kind of got its rhythm toward the end of the season, ended up winning a national championship. Try to avoid the comparisons too, but I guess, as you know, as you just mentioned, it's happened, and it happens quite frequently in this sport.
Way more than you think. Way more than you think. We get the cardinal and white colored glasses on and think everything revolves around, you know, the Badgers, and then nothing else exists, right?
Right.
Good or bad.
So caught up in the moment.
Yeah. Just look around. Just look around. I mean, it's everywhere.
And this is where. I mean, you got new guys going through this for the first time for sure. But when you've got Tyler, you got Stevie. I'll throw Max in there as well, but, you know, Chucky, Tyler, Stevie, and Chucky in particular, and Emil, you know, Carter Gilmore as well, but been through this, the tough stretches, you know, 2 years ago in the championship season. There were some bumpy moments, and then you just kind of, you figure it out. And I would imagine those guys also know what to say and when to say it.
Yeah, I mean, they've all been through it. I mean, I don't think this is anything, like I said, this is probably more common than it's not. I mean, you know, and every team in our league, with the exception of Purdue, has gone through it. You know, you're going through, do you have an injury? Do you have the flu? Do you play somebody when they got somebody back? Who you play and when you play them and where you play them and what status you're in is obviously, do you catch a team when they're really hot? Do you catch a team when they're licking their wounds? You know, so there's a lot of different variables that go into it. That's why it's not computerized. Mm. You just go by computerized spit out results and predictions. You have to play the game, and there's a human element to it that we have never been able to bottle and catch and figure out exactly the hows and whys.
That's always the part. The numbers nerds are the numbers nerds, and there's a lot of useful information there, but as long as it's played by dudes with a pulse, people, right. players, with right. athletes with a pulse, there's always that involved. Focus on Ohio State right now. They were struggling, and then they found a way, double overtime against Maryland on Saturday afternoon in Columbus. Hearing a lot of good things about Bruce Thornton, kind of took some things over. He's capable of that. He's got a little bulldog in him, doesn't he?
He does. He does. You know, and we thought that prior to playing down there that, you know, they were how he's taken a jump, you know, and how they've been able to, and obviously Jameson Battle was really on a tear at that point in time. But they've, you know, you look at their scores, they haven't, other than Northwestern, they've had battles. They had a battle. They had a big lead against Indiana and let it slip away. So they've been able to, they're trying to find consistency, and they found it a little bit more on Saturday against Maryland. So, yeah, it's a very talented backcourt, you know, with the two guys we talked about, Thornton and Battle, and then Roddy Gale you throw in there too. And obviously Mahaffey's kind of a jack of all trades, you know, makes a lot of hustle plays, and Akpara and Key inside. And so, yeah, it's a team that you know is talented. It's going to be competitive. You don't have to look, you know, peel the onion back very far to figure out, you know, this league is that way. There's no really bad teams. There may be some bad records or some that you look at, but when you start really diving in and dissecting them, you know, there's just little things here or there that can turn a game one way or the other.
And everybody's capable of the comeback too. I mean, you mentioned, you know, obviously what Nebraska did, you know, against the Badgers a couple weeks ago, but we saw it with Iowa. I mean, they're down 18 or 19 against Minnesota. Right. Dawson Garcia, I don't know what the issue there was, barely played in the second half, banged up or whatever it was. But then all of a sudden they turn it up and they come back. You mentioned Indiana, Ohio State. There's a 3-point line, but there's a lot involved here. Like, really, it's as cliche as it sounds, there's a lot to it that no lead is really safe.
Right? Yeah, I mean, it's just hard with the 3-point shot, with the shot clock. You know, you can't keep running the ball, right? You can't keep you right. can't take a knee, so you have to. You know, and the possession's going to come to an end. So you've got to be really efficient possession after possession after. It's hard, unless a team completely lays down on you, to really open up a big, big lead. And so it's just the, like I said, that's why you just try to focus on the possession ahead of you and not get worried about 20 possessions down the road or when we get to 5-minute mark, or let's just stay in the moment and make the best of where we are right now.
Yeah, you can't do that four-corner offense.
No, we can't use that one anymore.
You realize there's probably an entire generation of people go, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
it doesn't work. But the race is, you know, Purdue is obviously playing really well right now, but as you mentioned, it's not like they're out of reach. I mean, they've got some tough games coming up. Illinois is taking a couple of hits. The league is, you know, we're seeing, at least in layman's eyes, we're seeing some of these maybe teams more toward the middle who are really good. I guess I would have to put Northwestern better than the middle, mm-hmm. but Nebraska, obviously, mm-hmm. on the home floor. Is right. unbeat. Minnesota, even though one got away, much better team. We're right. seeing some improvement from
Penn
teams.
Penn State played Northwestern really tough yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, for Northwestern to handle that pressure, I think only had 6 turnovers where they turned it over at nauseam out at State College and lost that game. So, actually, maybe they won in State College, but they turned it over a ton.
They rallied. I think
right. They were there right before we were.
Yep.
But yeah, just looking at numbers yesterday of you know, final stat lines, and you kind of see where they were able to handle, you know, the pressure. And but Penn State has played some teams really tough here too, and you know, so it's like I said, it makes it great for fans and casual observers.
To do for coaches.
Yeah. That's a different show for a different time.
It's good to be home, though, right? I mean, on the road.
It is,
and it made sense to do what you did from a travel perspective, but for your guys to be back here, hopefully get a little bit of rest, be in their own beds, and that will show on the practice floor. And Tuesday.
I mean, it'll be good to, you know, be in here today, and, you know, we haven't been in here since the Purdue game, so it's been in ice mode. So
true, yep, the main arena by here because the ice was down.
Yeah, ice is down, so we'll be able to get some shots up and stuff and get practice in here today. And, you know, yeah, it's good to – hey, it's the life in college basketball. It's life in athletics. You're going to have – take the good with the bad and the bad with the good and keep pushing forward.
The first time I mentioned the word dog days of Bo Ryan, he looked at me weird. Yeah. So I won't throw that at you, but it's a challenging time right now for everybody across the country. Yeah. Right? Everybody's banged up a little bit.
Yeah.
Right?
Something hurts.
Yeah.
For everybody. If something doesn't hurt in mid-February, you're not playing hard enough.
Yeah.
So
simple as that.
Yeah, or you haven't been playing.
Better still. Yeah. All right, we will take a break. When we continue, we'll check in with Mark Vanda Wettering, Chief of Staff for Basketball Operations. Talk to him about how he put that non-conference schedule together, and it's been very helpful for Wisconsin this season. We'll also hear from Brian Butch a bit later as well. We're back in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, lost of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
There's a small Wisconsin town where the population grows to 10 times its size every February.
Normally, we're about 2,600 people during Berkey Week. That gets up to 20, 30,000.
That's Blair Flickinger with the Foundation for the American Birkebeiner. The skiing marathon started with a couple of people carving a trail between Hayward and Cable 50 years ago. It's also a tribute to the ski culture of another country already hosting its own Birkebeiner. Is it Turkey, Norway, or Germany? The answer coming up.
There's a camaraderie that comes along with this event that is unparalleled.
A camaraderie between people who come to Hayward from around the world.
Make everyone feel like Hayward is their spot for the week.
So did you guess the Berkey was created as a tribute to Norway's 100-year-old race? And while our Berkey is a well-known winter event, it's still growing by adding other races all throughout the year. There's a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
When it comes to advertising, the landscape gets more and more confusing every day. As a business owner, you've got dozens of choices on how to spread your message. At Civic Media, our goal is to help you unclutter that landscape. For 100 years, radio has successfully delivered customers to the doors of local businesses because we're local too. Local news, local topics, and local people that care about the places we broadcast. That gives your message credibility, and that's key when it comes to getting your message in the ears of the right people. Learn more about how this Civic Media station can help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us and click on sponsorship. From right here in our town to across the entire state of Wisconsin, we'll get the right message to the right people at the right time. And you'll be surprised how effective and budget-friendly radio advertising can be. Again, log on to civicmedia.com and click on sponsorship. We'll have a talk and help you craft the message that works for the people that you want to reach.
We'll be right back.
Continuing with the Greg Gard Show in a few minutes, we'll visit with Brian Butch, get his thoughts on the Badgers as they hopefully will get things straightened out in time for Tuesday's game with Ohio State and moving forward and get back to playing the brand of basketball we have seen the vast majority of this season. But right now we check in with Mark Vandewettering, Wisconsin Men's Basketball Operations Chief of Staff, and it's a position that has a lot to it, from team travel, so many other areas. Also included in Mark's job responsibilities is putting together the non-conference schedule. We have talked through the years about how the Badgers certainly have tested themselves outside of Big Ten play. Well, this year, maybe as much as ever, the Badgers have challenged themselves with finishing the home-and-home series with Tennessee, starting the home-and-home with Arizona. You had Virginia down at Fort Myers, as well as SMU, the annual series with Marquette. You get the idea. And all of that is helping now as you look at the net rankings. Even in the midst of this losing streak, the Badgers still sitting in that 20 to 21, 22 spot in the net rankings. KenPom rankings still very, very solid. And that out-of-conference schedule and winning enough of those games has helped. I asked Mark if he gets any general marching orders. Well, of course he does. But we'll ask him what kind of marching orders he gets from the head coach when he's putting this schedule together.
Year to year, coach wants to go out and challenge ourselves. You know, it's what our guys want. It's good for the fans, good for college basketball in general. So, you know, in general, it's let's go challenge ourselves. Let's go out and prove ourselves, give ourselves a chance to get some good quality wins in the non-conference. So the overarching theme year to year is that. And then, you know, you got to look at, which team you've got and what you're expecting to have for that coming season. So, you know, going into the offseason last year, coming off the NIT run, we felt pretty good being able to retain everybody. And coach was confident, like, I think we've got a chance to be a pretty special team. So I said, you know, I took that directive as, all right, let's have some fun. So, you know, you go out and start the hunt and go have some conversations with some people, see what's available. You know, there's some things that are locked in advance, you know, different to the Marquette series or the conference challenges, things like that. You know, but I think obviously the one this year that stuck out was adding the Arizona series late in the process when, you know, you maybe just would have wanted a guarantee game in that place. But, you know, I think we knew that challenging this core group in the non-conference would pay dividends in the conference season.
I remember in past years I would hear, if it was Coach Ryan, even Greg would talk about it, where it was really hard to get those home-and-homes with the, you know, the more recognized programs. They just really weren't crazy about playing Wisconsin for whatever reason. It's becoming a little bit more manageable now, though, by getting the Tennessees and the Arizonas of the world?
For sure. I think there's a better understanding across the country now of the value of home and homes. Like I said before, it's good for the fans, and you start there, and good for college basketball. There's iconic venues across our game. So playing in those games in those arenas where you can pack the house full of your own fans is good, and it preps you for the non-conference season. Like, we're going to go through the Big Ten, and we're going to play in those iconic venues across the conference. So let's get our guys ready, get them a taste of it early. But yeah, it's become more understood, I would say, across the country. And there's, you know, coaches like Tommy Lloyd at Arizona who understand the value of it for the game, but also for his team. And then, you know, we'll get a chance to get them back here next year.
Absolutely. So does Coach Gard have a bucket list saying, can you get us fill in the blank?
Yes.
I won't be exact here, but he said, hey, wouldn't it be great if, so you've got that bucket list for
him? Yeah, I mean, I got a list of names on my board that he'd like to go play. But yeah, I mean, like, he's been around a lot, so we've seen a lot of the venues, and there's some coaches he'd like to go up against if possible. You know, he was in talks with Mick Cronin at UCLA, but obviously we'll get the taste of them here coming up in future conference season. So there's certainly a little short list of teams we'd love to get on the schedule.
Well, we've seen the Badger fans have traveled really well to these tournaments. If it's Maui, if it's the Bahamas, this year Fort Myers. What goes into that? How does that match up where the Badgers land in some of these really good tournaments?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's credit to our fans. You know, we get approached by a lot of different tournament organizers because they know our fans will show up, and that's what they're looking for. They're looking for packed arenas to put on a good event and a good showcase for the teams in the tournament. So, you know, our fans travel really, really well no matter where we go. You know, we go to Fort Myers, New York, Maui, anywhere across the country, our Badger fans are going to be there for us. So we're super fortunate that way. But yeah, I mean, it's something we forecast out, you know, a few years in advance. That's one of the earlier ones that we get locked into before, you know, we kind of get into those home and home series. But it's something that we're always evaluating, trying to find new things, new tournaments. We're getting approached about going to new ones all the time. Our 2024 and 25 tournaments will be newer tournaments. And then we're, you know, looking to get back into those Atlantis, Maui rotations as well. So it's a fun endeavor because we get to treat the fans. We can spread it across the country and get Badger fans everywhere.
So you mentioned next year, the year after. You want every year you would like to, right, be involved in one of these four team events at least?
Yeah, I mean, that's ideally. We get in one of those MTEs, those multiple team events, that, you know, maximizes our schedule. So ideally it's a four team, two game format for us. It works out better that way because then we can have the flexibility to add a home and home, which we talked about is important for us. So those are ideal, but you're not going to say no to a Maui field. If you get a chance to go get that invite, we're certainly going to take advantage of that whenever we can.
Final thought. I know you're big into the metrics, you know, the net ranking, Ken Palm and all that. And the schedule has certainly helped that you have played. You're in a really good spot as we do this interview. When should the average fan really start? Everybody's looking at bracketology, this or the other. But if net rankings, Ken Palm, when should a fan really start to, like, okay, I want to look at this every day now? I know you look at it like November. But
it's tempting, you know, because they come out so early and it's, you know, game by game. It's a showcase up and down where you're going to go here or there. And it's exciting because it gets people talking about the game, right? But, you know, analytically, you want to get enough data in there to make sure that it makes sense. You know, you're going to have some outliers if you look too early in the season. So we're creeping up on that time where, like, okay, this might actually be where it is right now. So I'd say that early to mid-February is that the good timeline to start paying attention to it, get those numbers in the mix, and see where you might fall on Selection Sunday.
As Badger Basketball Chief of Staff of Operations, Mark Vandewettering. Stay with us when we continue. We'll hear from Brian Butch as the Greg Gard Show continues on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 6 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
SeatGeek's the ticketing app for fans like the sideline shot caller.
Come on, boys, pick up the pace!
SeatGeek got him a great deal on seats right near the action, so when he yells,
"What are you doing? Block him!"
he can be absolutely sure the players heard him. SeatGeek handles the tickets to sports, concerts, and more, so fans can fan.
How do you master the game of basketball? With ingenuity. By creating new opportunities to turn post-ups into layups, spin moves into easy steals, press breaks into fast breaks. At UW Health, we use the same ingenuity to treat injuries. We build a team of the greatest minds in sports medicine constantly innovating for the future of sports treatment. As the Badgers' official team doctors, we're dedicated to delivering advanced care every day so any athlete can stay on their A game. UW Health. Remarkable.
At Shields, we know the basketball season is a full-court press from tip-off to final buzzer. Each game presents an opportunity to see your Badgers take the court and compete for the win. So be there for every second to show your support head-to-toe in Wisconsin red and white. Shields has partnered with the Wisconsin Badgers to provide your favorite fan gear. So visit Shields in-store or online to start every game with a slam dunk. Shields, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics and basketball fans everywhere.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show as the Badgers get ready to, hopefully for their sake, get back on track tomorrow night against Ohio State. 8 o'clock tip. Buckeyes a double overtime winner over Maryland on Saturday. And, Illinois losing. I mean, teams are taking some hits right now, Butchie. Unfortunately, the Badgers are one of those teams. They've got time to fix it. And we were suggesting on the air late in the game, a lot of this now is from the neck up. Now, clearly, they got to get healthy. They got to get Kamari back, hopefully at some point here fairly soon, get John Blackwell back. But this team right now, it just seems to me, with layman's eyes, has a little confidence problem right now. You can see it a little bit differently. You've played the game. You've been through this. Am I on to something?
No, you are. I think it is a confidence problem. Now it becomes, and this is where it's frustrating as a coaching staff, there's adjustments you can make. You can try to give guys confidence in practice. You can put them in situations to get them confidence. But in the end, the locker room needs to grow confidence by the guys in the locker room. And that's the best teams that I've played with if someone stepped up. And now I think there's guys at times that have shown it. Who's going to be the one in this stretch to be able to do that and step up? Is it a guy like Chucky who doesn't have a huge voice? But when he speaks, people listen. Is it a guy like Tyler Wall who knows this is coming? You only have 7 Big Ten games left. Mm-hmm. And then you got the turn. Like, that's all Tyler's got. Is it him who says something? So that's the kind of the good about this is it gives a chance for guys to have a voice and a meaningful voice, not just one that just talks because they talk all the time, but somebody that hasn't talked a whole lot, but that does it with their actions. And all of a sudden, that person comes in and says something, everyone kind of looks around like, okay, this is it. This is what we've got to do now, and we've got to stop it here.
The way the game works, I mean, they got boat raced. You can't really get around that. But when Steve Peichel got the technical, Badgers get within 10 with the ball, and then an empty possession. They hit a three, and then they get a run out layup, and all of a sudden it's back to 15. But I think we both thought, they were one shot away from maybe getting Rutgers a little bit nervous. And it just didn't happen, and it just snowballed.
Yeah, they were one shot away, but I also thought on the defensive end there was a couple of lapses that can't happen. Mm-hmm. And again, they've been showing that on film. And we heard Coach Gard talk about, we watched the whole game against Michigan. Yep. They've seen it. Now they need to do it. That's the reality of it. Mm-hmm. The clips and the errors that showed up on the defensive end have showed up all year long. At times,
yeah.
You've got to execute the small things if you're going to win on the road in the Big Ten. The best thing about it is they're home next game. Like, that's where they're at. And I think now it's about that's where they're holding each other accountable. There's a missed block out. Someone's got to get after them. We've seen this 20 times. Just put a body on somebody. Mm-hmm. It's happened to me. One of those guys that did it was Joe Kravitoff. Hey, we got to do this. And obviously now you see what he's doing. Same, like, right? Or whether it was me going, to Greg Steens. Hey, we got to do that. Like, that's what great locker rooms do. And nobody feels personal. It's not a personal attack. This is what needs to get done for us to win. And that's where the group is right now.
And on the offensive end, the 10 turnovers in the first half, that's just, the press really bothered them. We've seen Wisconsin teams far more often than not not just handle the press, but they can get into some press attack, and that just didn't happen. They were the ones being attacked, and that was had to be disheartening to everybody in that locker room.
Yeah, and then when they did attack, they took bad shots.
Yeah.
So not only did they not attack like they should have, then when they did attack, they took a bad shot. And I think to me, that's what Rutgers does to you, though. I think some of that has to give credit to Rutgers as far as what they're trying to do. Now, Wisconsin on that side, you play a noon tip Eastern time in New Jersey, you know they're going to be physical. You know they're going to be aggressive. That's what Rutgers wants to bring. And I didn't feel like it was matched. Yeah. And that really showed in the press because they were up, they were aggressive, they were getting into you. So now there was even a 10-second call. Mm-hmm. With one of those turnovers. Mm-hmm. To me, that shows that they're not attacking, and not just like not attacking the score, but even not attacking the trap, retreat dribble, swing it, now attack up the lane, up the sideline, retreat dribble. If another trap comes, one more, and you get across. That you're doing that with pace. Mm-hmm. You can do that and still not have a 10-second call.
Right.
They weren't even doing that fast with pace. They did it slow, results in one of those. And that's when the 10-second call happened. we were both kind of new, like, uh-oh, they're not locked in right now.
No, they're not. No, it's just something we have not seen much at all for a long, long time with Wisconsin basketball. Okay, so you got Ohio State coming in. Buckeyes were able to find a way, double OT against Maryland. They were desperate for a win, and they were able to get one. So I guess you could say both teams dearly need to find a way to, if you're Ohio State, try to put back-to-back wins together. But more importantly, from the Badgers' perspective, try to stop the bleeding here. Because they're still in a position as, look, it's not, I mean, I'm not even talking about Big Ten championship race, but they're still in a great spot to finish in the top four, get a double bye. It might look bleak in the moment, but big picture, they're still not in the worst place in the world, are they?
They're not. And we've said a lot over this four-game losing streak. They have the pieces. There's a lot of teams out there that don't have the pieces to fix the problems that they have. There's a lot of teams in America that know what their problems are, and they can't fix it. Wisconsin knows what their problems are, and they have the pieces to fix it. Kamari McGee needs to get healthy. John Blackwell needs to get healthy. That's fixing some of the problems that we've seen here recently. Even in that Michigan game, John tried to give it a go, but he wasn't the same. Didn't have that same tenacity. And a lot of that comes on the defensive end, is just understanding how to get over screens, not screening, because all of a sudden, when you do get ball screen action and you get behind the screen, now it puts a lot more pressure on the rest of your defense. You're out of position, and that's when you get into problems. And we've seen that a lot. So I look at this team, and even though they've got the four-game losing streak, even though all that is there, the pieces to fix the problems that have shown up are in that locker room. Now we got to figure it out. And if John can't go against Ohio State, if Kamar can't go against Ohio State, who's going to be the person to step up and say, even though we're down, next man mentality, or I've got to find a way, this isn't my strength, but I've got to find a way to make it my strength this game, get us through this.
Well, it's that old line. It's opportunity for some guys who had not had a lot of minutes to maybe show what they could do. I mean, obviously, you know, Connor Sejan knocks down some threes against Rutgers defensively. It's still, he isn't where he would want to be, or A.J. Storr as well, for that matter. But, you know, it could be a Sejan, if it's an Isaac Lindsay, whatever the case, you have to try to find a way right now. And if the answer, if you can, then when those other guys are ready to go and are as close to 100% as they're going to be, then you got a team, as we move forward in February, has a chance to get back to what they have been most of this year.
Yeah, and I think that's, to me, the group has it. And I think a loss like this, the Michigan one, you evaluate, it's okay, but you're on the road with each other. This is one where it hurts because you got bullied. I mean, this one hurts more. This is different than a Michigan loss where you kind of look at it and say, how do we lose that one? Or how do we let that one slip? You know how you lost to Rutgers. You can remove all the basketball side to it. They were more physical than you, and they bullied you. This one hurts. It happened to me when I played. And usually it was against the Michigan State team where we looked at it and said, wow, we got, like, that was the moment you looked at it and said, okay, we need to be better, and we have to be better if we want to achieve what we're trying to achieve. You have to embrace this. You can't run from this. Mm-hmm. I think that locker room is full of guys that are going to embrace it. It's not easy. Because by embracing, what do you have to do? You have to look yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
What did I do there? There's no finger pointing. And I think that locker room has guys that are going to embrace this and say, that's not acceptable. That's not Wisconsin basketball. We can't allow ourselves to lose games like that.
Yeah, and it's right back to it. I mean, you know, the Sunday practice, the Monday practice, you got Ohio State, and then you go to Iowa with the Hawkeyes. I know they're up and down, but they can get up and down when they're right and put a lot of points up on the board. So, you know, the league is not, I mean, you know, let's be honest, it's not having, the Big Ten is not a great league right now, but that also means every game is winnable. And as Wisconsin found out the really hard way, every game is losable. If you're a last-place team or if you're a 12th-place team, I think they know that for sure now.
Well, absolutely. And they know now there's pressure on every game, a little bit more than there was, which is good heading into March. I know people probably say, what are you talking about? It's good. But the pressure of each game increases. Well, guess what? Every game in March matters. Yeah. Now you're sitting here, middle of February, you've had a bad loss. There's some pressure to win against Ohio State. There's going to be some more pressure on you to win against Iowa. You can't. You got to stop the streak. Like, that's a good pressure because it gets you ready for what March Madness is.
Yeah, so, no doubt. No doubt. So let's see what happens. Ohio State coming in tomorrow night. Our coverage starts at 7, tip time set for 8 o'clock, and then they'll be in Iowa City on Saturday afternoon. Badgers trying to get sweeps of both of those teams. Wisconsin winning in Columbus in January and took care of the Iowa Hawkeyes on January 2nd. So a chance to get right and sweep a couple of teams here in the coming days. We'll take a break. More to come as the Greg Gard Show continues on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
The morning show on WFHR, it's different.
That's when all of a sudden, if you notice every other Batman costume, the cowl is not attached to the suit anymore.
Right.
And Batman can actually do this amazing thing where he turns his head. The Joker's masterful plan of going to the left. Serpentine! Quick penguin, serpentine!
Weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. only on locally grown radio.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist who welcomed to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on locally grown radio.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres and a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Check out the Big Ten schedule the rest of this week. Obviously, the Badgers in Ohio State tomorrow night. The early game, Michigan at Illinois. The Illini sitting there with that 8-4 record as we speak, a half game ahead of Wisconsin at 8-5. On Wednesday, two games on the slate. Michigan State coming off a big win against the Illini this past weekend on the road to State College, squaring off with Penn State. Iowa with the big comeback win will be at Maryland. The Terps with that tough double overtime loss in Columbus on Saturday. Two more games on Thursday. Northwestern at Rutgers. Scarlet Knights on a bit of a roll right now, and Minnesota trying to bounce back. Pretty tough assignment as they head out to Mackey Arena to take on the Purdue Boilermakers. And on Saturday, four games on the schedule, including the Badgers in Iowa. You got Penn State at Nebraska, Illinois at Maryland, Michigan State will be making the bus ride over to Ann Arbor to take on Michigan. Our coverage tomorrow night starts at 7 o'clock. Tip time set for 8 p.m. for the Badgers and the Ohio State Buckeyes as Wisconsin goes for the sweep of the regular season series, having knocked off OSU in Columbus in January. And we will talk to you tomorrow night from the Kohl Center for the Badgers and the Buckeyes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You've been listening to The Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek, official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. And by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. Visit uwsportsmedicine.org. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
CBS News Brief just in the U.S. House a short time ago.
On this vote, the yeas are 214 and the nays are 213. The resolution is adopted.
After failing once, House Republicans on a second try vote to impeach Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. A nor'easter plows through the Northeast. CBS News Boston reporter Lewis Mueller is in Central Massachusetts.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition.